Amen. Amen. Who's excited to be in church this morning? Oh, it's so great to have you here. Just really excited. You can take your seats. Thank you. And welcome to you, those of you who are watching online as well. It's just fantastic. We've already had a 9 a.m. this morning. We had a fantastic time and really expectant for today as well. But, you know, I really am excited because there's real people in the building. You just touch yourself. You're real. You know, touch the person next to you. Well, if you know them, you know, they're real too. And it's really cool just to be able to hear with you because, you know, I'm a little bit of a, I do have a side of me that doesn't mind a bit of me time and a bit of alone time. Anyone else out there that says, yeah, I can identify with that. I like a little bit of me time. But I'm also someone that gets to a point. My family knows where I kind of need people. Anyone else like that? You kind of need people every now and again. And I, because I get energized by being around people. So you've got to know that this last 5 months for me has been so hard because I've just been so desperate just to have the church back together again. And so it's awesome today because there's something powerful that happens when we gather as his people. And we see over and over again that when you read through the book of Acts and you read through the Bible, you see that whenever God's people met, things took place. Miracles, signs and wonders, changed lives, joy, just extreme generosity. There was just breakthroughs, just the most incredible things, demons cast out, just all kinds of manner of things, because that's what happens when God's people come together. If God had meant for us just to do our Christianity on our own, well, that's what he would have put in place. But he said his wisdom was to actually birth his church. And so he wants us to come together and gather. And so as good as the online experience has been necessary in this last season, there's something beautiful about when we come together in person. And my belief, if you're watching online this morning, my hope for you is that right where you are, is that the Holy Spirit would meet with you and our hearts are with you as well. Well, I'd actually prepared another message for this morning. I was actually going to continue our Acts series today. And I had prepared a whole message, spent the day preparing. And then I got to the end of the day and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, say, what Sunday is this? And I said, well, I've dubbed it this, We Are Back Sunday. So this is officially called We Are Back Sunday. And you didn't know that that was a thing, but it is a thing now in COVID season, We Are Back Sunday. And so that's what today is. Who's excited about We Are Back Sunday? Yeah. Come on, it's an exciting day. And so here we are, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I don't want you to preach what you prepared. I've got another message that I want you to be speaking on this morning. So I've actually prepared two messages this week, and I'm actually going to preach you the second one, and I've simply entitled my message, Dry Bones Live. Dry Bones Live. And I want you to read me from Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. I love this text. And you'll be able to follow with me on the screens as well if you don't have your Bibles with you, which you should have. Was that okay? Was that okay to say that? You're in church, you're supposed to have your Bibles with you? Yes. All right, so I'm getting naughty. Anyway, it says in verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones, and he led me back and forth amongst them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I love this portion of text has always been one of my favorite ones. Whenever I read it, something about it just stirs me here. But the context here is that Ezekiel and the nation of Israel had actually been in captivity in Babylon for about 10 years at this particular point, when God actually gives this vision to Ezekiel. And it says that Ezekiel is led by the Spirit through a valley. And this valley, you might feel like you're in a valley in your life right now. Maybe you feel like you're kind of in that valley place in your life where perhaps there's just stuff going on right now. Because the valley is significant, because this valley spoke of the many countless defeats that the nation of Israel had actually suffered at the hands of the Babylonians. And so this valley represented, it was full of blood, it was full of bones, it was full of history and defeat and death. But it wasn't that God is trying to rub Ezekiel's face in it and say, look at all the defeats that you had. No, what this account's actually about is exactly the opposite. It's a promise of hope. It's a promise of life. It's a promise of victory, and how God is in the business of bringing life out of that which would seem that it's dead. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know, those of you who are watching online, I don't know what it is that you're facing, but I'm here to tell you today that God wants to make your dry bones live. You know, it's easy when you're on the mountains of God, the high place is to take on anything. A number of years ago, Jill and myself, that's my wife, we decided that we had a bucket list item. One of the things that we wanted to do was to go to the very top of Australia and Mount Kosciuszko, for those of you who didn't know where that was. We went to Mount Kosciuszko, we walked up to it, and it was just an amazing thing, because when you're on top of the mountain, we've actually got a picture that we can actually show you of that. But there's just to show you that it's real, we really got there. That's a survey beacon at the top there that we're leaning on very casually on the top of Australia. You know, when you're standing on the top of Australia, it's amazing how you feel like a king, because everything around you has a different perspective. All of a sudden, those mountains that we were on the way up, we're walking past, that seemed so huge and so big and so intimidating. Now, as we were looking down on them, there was a different perspective. There was a different perspective, because why? We were up on the mountain. We were in the highest place, and there's a different perspective. Everything is beneath us. And when you get God's perspective, when you're on His mountain, and today can be like a mountain for you, coming together as a church can be like those mountain experiences. And we see in the Bible that a lot of good things happened on mountains. We see that actually there was Abraham sees the burning bush on a mountain. We see that Moses is actually given the Ten Commandments on a mountain. We see that actually that Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on a mountain. We see that the temple was actually built on a mountain in Jerusalem. We see that it was on a mountain that Jesus preached one of his greatest sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. All right, the Sermon on the Mountain. All right, you didn't know you preached on a mountain. I told you, good theology in this place. So it was on a mountain that he commissioned his disciples to go to the nations. It was on a mountain that he was actually transfigured. It was on a mountain that he actually hung on a cross and ultimately defeated that cross. You see, great things happen on mountains. There's amazing things that happen when we come together. And as I say, coming together as a church is like coming together. It's like a mountain experience. And that's why it's so vital and so important for us to come together. But here's the thing that I learned. You cannot live on the mountain. It'd be very weird if you decided you were going to put your bed here in the church auditorium and actually just say, I'm just going to live here. Jasmine, dearie, don't do that. Don't just put your bed here and live here. I'll be sending you home. We're saying you can't live here. You can't live on the mountain as much as you might want to. In fact, some of these Jesus' disciples, when they saw the transfiguration, they said, let's just camp here. We want to live on this mountain. But Jesus said, no, we can't do that. We've actually kind of got to come down off the mountain. We've actually gathered as a church, but then we gather so that we can scatter and actually go out there into the world and actually be the hands and feet and touch of Jesus to a world that's in desperate need. And so when you come down off the mountain, you come down and some of us will go onto the plains where it's spacious. Oh, that was a great mountain experience. You come down off the mountain, you come to the plains and it's spacious. But some of us, we're going to find ourselves in a valley. And valleys, typically in the Bible, are places where battles are fought. There are places where there was tussles and there were wrestles and there was all kinds of things that were going on. And you may feel like you've been in some battles in this last season. In fact, this whole COVID season, you may feel like it's been a battle, a struggle. You maybe feel like I've been in the valley in a sense. And I would fully understand if that was your case. But maybe it's things like this. Maybe let's get even more specific about your valley. Maybe your marriage has been through some battles in this last season. Or maybe your family is going through a bit of a valley experience, a battle at the moment. Or maybe you've been in a fight over your mental health, your mental well-being. Maybe you've been fighting off anxiety and fear and worry and concern. Or maybe you've been in a financial fight. Maybe it's been a fight of isolation. Some of you are just struggling with that whole thing of having been so isolated in this last season. Maybe it's a fight of calling. Maybe it's a fight of confidence. Maybe it's a fight for your future. Or maybe it's a fight with your past or your present. Maybe it's a fight to try and keep joy. Maybe it's a fight with your health. Maybe it's a fight with addictions. Maybe it's a fight with and for your kids. Maybe it's a fight for connection. I don't know what your fight is, but for some of us, whether you're here or whether you're watching online, for some of us, we're in a valley and there's a fight. And you feel like you're in the valley. And God takes Ezekiel backwards and forwards across this valley. And he says he sees that it's full of bones. And it says that he sees that the bones are dry. But it says that they weren't just dry. They were very dry. It's always good to think about, why is that in there? Surely dry is enough. No, making a point. They were not just dry. They were very dry bones. Because sometimes a situation in a valley can seem like it is beyond hope and beyond rescuing. And you may even be thinking today, you say, Matt, you don't know my situation. You don't know my circumstance. Yes, I don't, but God does. And when God looks at your valley, when he looks at your situation, when he looks at your dry bones, he says, I know that they seem like they're not just dry, but they are very dry. But he says, even though they're very, very dry, he says, I'm the God that can do amazing things. I don't know if you've been to some of the drought-affected areas in our nation over the last while, but we've actually got a picture of a typical Australian scene. But if you actually have a look at this, that's a very typical thing. You see parched, cracked land. There's no sign of life. It just looks like you look at that and you think, man, that's just dead. What good can come from that? How can any life come from that? But farmers that have been around for generations actually know this, that if they can just weather the drought season, that what lies on the other side of that is abundance and fruitfulness and new life. You see, right now, you look at that picture, you think there's no way. It's impossible. It's not just dry, it's very dry. And God says of your situation, it doesn't matter how dry it might look. God is still able to do that. And so when God looks at your valley, he doesn't see just bones that are very dry. He doesn't see defeat. He sees life and he wants to revive that which seems dead. And so that's why he says to Ezekiel, he asks him this question in verse 3. He says, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, I hope you realize God knows the answer. I mean, he's God. So he knows. He doesn't ask a question because he doesn't know the answer. He's not asking it for that. He's actually asking because it's a question of faith of Ezekiel. He's saying, Ezekiel, do you believe that these dry, dead bones that you see in this valley of defeat can actually live again? Do you actually believe that? And the kind of it's God is actually asking the question, so the answer's clearly obvious. There's only one answer really to that question. Of course, yes. Yes, it is possible. But I think that's why Ezekiel responds this way. And he says, Sovereign Lord, in verse 3, he says, you alone know. I want you to pause and think about that for a moment. I want you to think about your valley. I want you to think about whatever the dry bones of your life may be. And I want you to understand this, that we serve a sovereign Lord. We serve a God who is over all and who is before all. He existed before anything and he'll be there long after everything on this earth has passed away. He is the highest authority. There is no name above his name. And what he wills will come to pass. If he determines that he wants to bring new life into your situation, it will come to pass. But God's looking for a faith response from Ezekiel. Something that shows that he actually believes God and believes his character. That God, I know that you can do this and that you want to do this. Not just that he's able, but that he actually wants to. Because it's our faith that actually activates God's will. And all of this, all it needs is just a small seed of faith. In Matthew 17, verse 20, it says this. This is in response to Jesus replying to his disciples when they asked, how come we couldn't cast out this demon, but you could? And he says this to them. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and that's really small. He says, you can say to this mountain, so basically that's whatever's before you, whatever your valley is, whatever dry bones are there, he says, you'll be able to say, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. Nothing will be impossible. You see, faith is not a feeling. Some people are saying, well, I'm waiting till I feel it. I'm saying, no, guys, you got it wrong. Faith's not a feeling. Your feelings will follow your decision. Faith is a decision to trust God. Faith is a decision to stand on his word. Faith is a decision to trust his character. And the feelings will follow that, but make a decision to trust him. You're waiting for a feeling. Ezekiel was being asked a question. It's not about a feeling, Ezekiel. It's a simple truth. Can these bones live? You know, Jesus' disciples were faced with the same question of faith after his death on the cross. You know, they were faced with the same question, can these bones live? And we know the reality is that they found out after 3 days that they could. Because Jesus rose again from the dead. And then over the next period appeared to them repeatedly. And they discovered that dead bones can live. You see, the devil thought he had had a victory in killing Jesus. The enemies of Jesus thought they'd had a victory. And even some of the disciples thought this could possibly be the end. But here's the thing, is that the end is never quite the end when it comes to Jesus. Because dry bones can live. And that's what Easter tells us. Easter tells us that dry bones can live. Dead bones can live again. And there's a glorious victory that awaits. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it's one of my favorite texts on faith. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver, through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And that is why it is credited to him as righteousness or right standing with God. It was his faith, fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He didn't waver through unbelief. He just made a decision and said, God, I choose to trust you. I choose to trust your promises. I choose to trust what you say. And the key to life flooding into your valley and flooding into those dry bones that are lying there is faith and trust that God can do everything that he's promised. Nothing is beyond his touch. Do you know there's two parts to every miracle? There's God's part and ours. God's part is that he is the power. Our part is the faith. Yes. Put those two things together. Wow. Amazing things can take place. And so God says to Ezekiel, says, look, Ezekiel, this is how I want you to show your faith. He says in verse 4, he says, prophesy to these bones and say this to them. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, speaking the word of God into your valley, speaking the word of God, the promises of God over your dry bones, over your dead bones, whatever it may be, is one of the best things that you can do. You know, our words that you hold, the Bible says the power of life and death. If you're just constantly just complaining and negative and full of despair and complaint and lack and hopelessness, if that's the words, I want to say to you, you've got to understand that the source of your words does matter. If you want to speak death and those things over and just dryness over your situation, carry on doing what you've been doing. But if you want life to flood into that valley, if you want life to flood into those dry bones, then how about you change the source of your words and allow your words to become His word? Begin to speak His word. Begin to proclaim His word into your situation. And when you do that, it's amazing how it unlocks divine creative power. I hope you realize that bones cannot hear. Has anyone seen a bone with ears? Silly question. I mean, well, exactly. That's my point. Bones in the natural can't hear a thing. And yet He speaks to them and He says, hear the word of the Lord. What is He saying? You know, when you declare the word of God, when you speak the word of God, when you appeal to the sovereign Lord, when you stand on who He is, we unlock a divine spiritual sound that even dead things can now hear and have to obey. Not maybe obey, have to obey. You know, prophecy, it's all about declaring God's preferred future, His predetermined future. And it may not be a reality for you right now. Your valley may be very real. Your bones may be very dry right now. But it is a reality in the spiritual realm. And when we speak to our situation and over ourselves and over our dry bones, when we say these words, hear the word of the Lord. There's something powerful in that. I want to tell you, if we spend less time complaining, less time moaning, and more time proclaiming, hear the word of the Lord, I think we'd be seeing some pretty incredible, miraculous things take place. I think we'd begin to see life flooding into areas that we thought were dead as we begin to proclaim the word of the Lord. This is not just positive thinking. This is not trying to psych yourself up into some kind of manic state. This is standing on the truth of God's word. This is standing on who His character is. This is standing on His promises and saying, God, I choose to speak those into. And that which is dead, I'm saying, hear the word of the Lord. Yes. It's a word for someone here today. Some of you, you've been in this valley and you're wondering, how do I get out of it? Well, I'm sharing with you some keys as to how you need to get out of it. Speak the word of the Lord. And God says to Ezekiel, He says, I want you to prophesy and I want you to tell these bones these things. He says, I want you to tell them this firstly. He says, I will make breath into you. That word for breath can also be translated spirit. I will make my spirit into you. And see, that's the thing. It starts with God. It's not your self-effort that's going to get this valley and these dry bones happening. It starts with God. So stand on that. I will make breath into you. I will make my spirit into you. And then He goes on to say this, you will come to life. Because what God wills will take place. There's no if, maybes, debating. You don't get a committee together and decide whether we should do it or not as we do in Canberra. No, it says, if I will it, speak this to those bones. You will come to life. Whatever that valley is, whatever those dry bones, you will come to life. Yes. And then He says, I want you to say this. I will attach tendons and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. Because here's the thing, everything that we need for that life to flow, God puts in place. And He doesn't want you just to be a skeleton or shadow what you should be. But He's actually created you not to just live life, but to live it to the full, as it tells us in John 10. He says, I want you to live life to the absolute max. I want you to enjoy abundant life. I don't want you to be a skeleton. I don't want you to be someone just like walking around, you're just like the skeleton of what you should be. He said, no. He says, I want you to have life in abundance and you can come back from whatever your valley is. He says, I will put breath in you and you will come to life. I want you to think about that. Whatever your valley, whatever your dry bones are, your situation, God is personal and you are His favorite, and He wants to revive you. And He wants to revive your situation. This isn't for someone else. This is for you. I want you to personalize this. I want you to take it in your situation. Say, this is God's word to me. And then He says, then you will know that I am God. I love the fact that people can, they can come to me and they can question my faith. They can do all kinds of things on it. But I've been a Christian for 33 years. I know you're saying I'm not that old, but I know it's a miracle. I've been a Christian longer than I've been alive. No, I'm just joking. 54, I'm proud of it. But if people were to come to me and question my faith, you know, I'd say, hey, I don't only know it intellectually. I know it experientially. Because I've seen how God has brought so many areas in my life to life. I was a young man just going about so misguided in what I was doing, and I discovered a purpose. I discovered my destiny because of Jesus. And over the years, I've seen Him over and over and over again. He's done that. And so He prophesies. He says, I want you to prophesy. And as you prophesy, He hears a sound. He hears a sound. That's a sound of just this rattling as bone upon bone just starts coming together. And that which seemed impossible, that which seemed dead, that which seemed like it had no life, all of a sudden there's this rattling. And all of a sudden there's miracles taking place, there's power that's beginning to flood into that which is dead, and these bones are coming together. But it says that there was still no life, even as tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin began to cover them. And I want to say, these are just lifeless bodies at this point in the account. So much potential, so much possibility, but still no life in them. And that may be exactly how you feel in here today. That might be how you feel online. That you kind of feel like, actually, I'm in that kind of place as well. I kind of feel spiritually, I feel emotionally lifeless. You're doing everything you can. You're getting to church. You're sitting online. You're trying to position yourself. You're trying to do all that you can to put in place. But if you're honest, you're battling to find the life. You're battling to see the victory. But this account tells us that no matter what you're experiencing and feeling, it's not the end of the story. Because you might feel lifeless, but it's not the end. And some of us, unfortunately, we give up at this point and we kind of settle for something less than what God wants. And we kind of begin to settle for lifelessness. And we kind of think, well, it's just my lot. I'm just going to have to put up with being spiritually lifeless, emotionally lifeless. I'm just going to have to do that. But I'm here to tell you today, keep on prophesying. Keep on speaking into your valley. Keep on speaking over your dry bones, because it's not the end of the story. And in fact, God says to Ezekiel, He says, I want you to prophesy a second time, Ezekiel. And this time, I want you to say this in verse 9. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. Some of us here, some of you who are watching online, you need to prophesy a second time into your valley and dry bones. Some of you need to prophesy a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, whatever it takes. Just prophesy again, because God wants to bring life into your valley. He wants to bring breath. And as He does so, in verse 10, He says, I prophesied as He commanded me. And listen to this, breath entered them and they came to life and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Death and defeat is transformed and now becomes an incredible victory. And the church, the army of God, arises. And then rises, not just to exist, but to fight again. And God wants to say to you, you can fight again. He wants to say, you can come again. You can make a difference again. In your marriage, you can have that which you want again. He says, if you would just stand up and you would just begin to prophesy and proclaim the breath of the Lord. See, hope is not gone. And God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I'm showing you all of this because I want the people of Israel to know that hope has not gone, that you're not cut off, And that I can bring life to dry bones and I can put my spirit in you. And he says, and you will live and you will know that I am God. Wow. There's a word, not just for then, but for you today. Resurrection power. God wants it to flow in you and through you. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1 verse 19. It says, I also pray that you might understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. That is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in a place of honor in the heavenly realms. God wants you to know that resurrection power. And he wants you to proclaim that and speak that into your valley over your dry bones. You know, this morning I was actually just doing in my devotions, I read Psalm 84. And Psalm 84 speaks about the valley of Baca. It means the valley of tears. And it says about the people of God, it says, blessed are those whose strength is in him. They've set their hearts in pilgrimages, it says. So basically what they're saying is they're choosing not to stay where they are. Hello? Don't stay in your valley. Don't stay with your dry bones. Make a decision today to say, actually, I'm going to choose not to stay in that place. And it says, as they pass through this valley of Baca, this valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. And it goes on to say how they go from strength to strength. See, that which would seem like a defeat has actually become a victory because of Jesus. You don't have to stay in your valley. You don't have to stay in defeat. Your bones don't have to stay dead. God wants you to experience it. Won't you stand with me, please? I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your circumstance is, whether you're here, whether you're online, what your valley is, what your dry bones are. But hopefully this word, and I say this is the word the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart specifically for today. And I'm really believing there's people that needed to hear this today, because you've been locked in your valley. You've been settling for your dry bones and thinking that's it. Or you've been settling for a measure. You've seen the tenders, you've seen God do something, but you're stopping short of the abundance that God has got for you. And I just feel like today he wants you to respond with faith. And today he wants you to prophesy and speak to those bones and say, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, live. And he wants you to speak that over your spirit. He wants you to speak that over your emotions. He wants you to speak that over your mental health. He wants you to speak that over your marriage. He wants you to speak that over your dreams, over your future. He wants you to speak that over your calling. He wants you to speak that over your finances. He wants you to speak that over your kids. He wants you to speak that over your ministry, over your career, over your health, over your fear. He wants you to speak that over your confidence and over your self-worth, over your past, over your present, over this church. He wants you to speak over your friends, over your work environment. He wants you to declare the word of the Lord and say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Live. Breath. Come into you. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to speak over your dry bones? Come on, church, I want to hear. Are you ready to do that? There's not a time to be quiet. He's looking for a faith response. Don't worry about what the person next to you is doing. It's got nothing to do with him. This is about you and God. You know what those dry areas are. You know what those valleys are. You know which things you actually need to begin to start prophesying over. And I believe today is going to be one of those days where you're going to look back and say, it started that day. I heard God's cry, I heard his call, and I started prophesying life. And I began to hear dry bones rattling, dry bones rattling, dry bones rattling.